Welcome to the 2007 year-end Path of Reason podcast. I'm Derek, and I'm with Adam.
Hello.
And we're just going to go and talk about a couple things and basically just make this a freestyle podcast. There's no real set format today because this is the last one of the year, and basically, I don't know, we just want to go over a couple things. I want to start off by thanking everybody who has listened to our podcast this year and checked out our website. We just recently got over 12,000 views for the year, which is good for us considering we just started last year, so.
Well, this January.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be a year in January.
Yeah.
So, I mean, next year can only get better, right?
We can hope so.
Yeah. Sorry. So, Adam, did you have anything on the agenda you wanted to talk about?
Well, let's just review a little bit of the traffic and stuff that we've been getting. I think the podcasts are actually what's really bringing a lot of people to the site, and also letting a lot of people know about the site, because just looking at the stats, since we started the podcast on October 23rd, and since then, we've had, and this is as of right up to this minute, which, what, today is the 12th, right?
Yeah.
Total number of feed views, which is how many times the play button has been pressed for any one of our podcasts. We've got 5 so far. And total number of feed views is 7,271.
Damn.
Yeah, that's an average of 142 per day. So that's really good. And then total number of subscribers as of right now is 375.
Really?
So, yeah. And it keeps on going up and up and up and up, and it's cool because the hosting site that we go through has a map, and you can see where everyone is, and it's all over the entire world, like New Zealand, Australia, China, Japan, all over Europe, and all over America. It's really cool.
Yeah, man. Hey, I think it's good that we're reaching the world because, you know.
Yeah.
I like networking, and not to mention, you know, America's kind of a tough market to crack these days.
Yeah, especially with what we're talking about.
I know.
But
where, like, every turn they're trying to find a legal way to burn an atheist at the stake.
Yeah. Or censor or whatever.
Yeah. Obviously lately I've been making a lot of YouTube videos, and there's like this big, huge controversy going on now that YouTube is now like removing videos that insult Islam.
They are?
Yeah, man. A couple of people have been saying that their videos got removed because they've been insulting Islam, and they say that you can like talk bad about, you know, other religions, but as soon as you say something about Islam, like, videos are being removed because, I don't know, I don't know if it's America's way of, like, you know, trying to cool down all the anti-Islamic hatred in our country, because, I mean, it's not that our country itself is anti-Muslim, but at least on the atheist side, where we see it for what it is, it's where, like, there's, like, a big sense of anger and animosity building up, especially when every other day we have to read in the news about how somebody, you know, murders their child for not wearing traditional Muslim clothes, or somebody being stoned, or just some insane barbaric tactic that is so
I don't know about you, but I mean, I sort of think it'd be good for us to go in the direction and maybe do a little bit more research on, like, the Quran and maybe delve into that a little more.
Next year?
Well, yeah, for, like, for this new upcoming year.
Yeah, man. Well, but, we both got our Qurans in the mail recently.
Yeah. What was it? What was the website?
FreeQuran.com.
Yeah. FreeQuran.com.
It's... they were... I mean, they're apparently used Qurans.
Recycled.
Recycled. They look, I mean, beat up, and they were sent, like, brown paper bags, practically.
I was afraid to open the bag when I got it. It was all crumpled. Yeah. Do you have yours on you right now?
My Quran or my bag?
The Quran.
Yeah, why? Do you want me to, like, read from it?
Yeah, just read the back of it.
Hold on a second. Just everything that's on there?
No, just like the, remember that first part I thought was funny?
Where it says, between these two covers, you will find the answers to those questions which touch the very heart of your being. Why am I here? Where am I heading? How I achieve happiness? How can I find inner peace? The answers given are given in plain and simple. What requires is natural humans have accepted this message. We invite you to contemplate. So apparently it's written in the broken English.
The broken English translation.
Yeah, it's the broken English translation. I think it was, like, copied by a cab driver.
wait, broken... Okay, so that's the BET version.
Yeah, the broken English translation.
Wow.
Which is okay. Apparently...
What's the quote it actually gives on the back of it?
It says, this is a clear message for people in order that they may be warned thereby.
And that's what I was talking about. Like, like, that sounds like an inviting and loving book where the quote they put on the back of it is a warning.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell do I, you know, like, why don't we start off with the nice stuff at least, or, you know, you think you'd want to put that on the back cover, not like a freaking warning, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's obviously warning you of, you know, either being killed or, you know, eternal damnation or something like that.
Yeah.
But to be honest, it's working because, like, people really are afraid to, like, talk out against Islam or even just polite critical analysis of it, you know? Like, I'm even afraid to, like, really get into it because you never know what people will do, especially with people getting killed left and right for doing these kind of things, you know?
Yeah.
Do you feel the same way, or is that, are you not so worried about it?
I don't know. I guess it depends, because I really, like, I made a video on YouTube talking about the recent 40 lashes and that teddy bear.
Right.
And obviously, you know, I got a lot of hateful emails from Muslims, and, you know, there's a, I don't know, like, to me, I think I'm more against the whole message and meaning of the religion itself, and I think that it's like a vile, disgusting religion just because of the way they act, represent themselves. Now, obviously, like, hypocrisy is nothing new, but the words of their own book are twisted and warped, and, I mean, apologetics only go so far, and, like, I really don't ever hear anything positive or thought-provoking from them whenever they write me emails. It's usually, like, you know, someday when Islam takes over the world and, you know, we're chopping your head off and you're going to think twice about what you said. I mean, these emails are nothing, I mean, uncommon to me, but I don't feel like I fear for myself, especially in San Antonio, where really there aren't many Muslims yet. I mean, we're in a pretty big Catholic city, so, I mean, and we're in the South, and Muslims are scared to death of the South.
Well, yeah.
Especially after 9/11. I mean, they get treated like crap here.
And I mean, that's not right, you know?
No, I but know.
I don't know. I think it'd be cool if we could get, like, a moderate Muslim to, like, do a podcast with us or something, because just not even so much to talk about their religion or anything about it, but more to talk about, like, how are they addressing the issue of, like, the extremists and the killing and the intolerance and, you know what I mean?
Well, they're not, man. They
well, that's what I mean. I want to actually get one. I know there's, I can't remember the guy's name, but he, like, had some interfaith youth alliance. His last name is Patel, I think. But, I don't know, I think it'd be cool if we could maybe get a hold of him and talk to him about it, because
yeah,
it makes them look bad too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to come off like I'm some kind of bigot and I hate Muslims or whatever, and I'm not racist against Middle Eastern people, but, like, England has a huge, huge problem with Muslims and how they want to change the laws and they want enforced dress codes for women who aren't even Muslim because they don't feel comfortable around these people, but yet they immigrate to these countries out of their own war-torn countries, and then they expect everyone to, like, you know, conform to them. Now, in America, most Muslims who are here are either born into America, into our free country, or they're converted in prison, because we know how, you know, how high the prison Islam, you know, conversion rate is. But it's like, I don't think they really fully understand, like, I don't think, like, moderate Muslims are even real Muslims, and I don't think that they would, like, last 5 seconds in Saudi Arabia, where if, like, I mean, there was a video on YouTube recently about a kid who's like, I'm a Muslim, and he's like, I don't beat my wife, and I don't oppress women, and I never have wanted to kill an infidel. I'm like, well, you were born in America, man. You have no idea what it's like to really, really be raised with this stuff pumped in your brain. You're born into a free country to begin with, you know? Right.
So it's like watered down.
Oh, yeah.
Islam.
Well, yeah. I don't think people really grasp, you know, what Sharia law is or honor killings. Like, if you're an American, the thought of an honor killing is utterly ridiculous, because you're like, what? No, we can't do that here. We'll be arrested.
Well,
go ahead.
I was just going to say that, like you said, the one 16-year-old girl that was killed by her father, that was just in Canada.
Wow.
It's not in the Middle East, you know? It's like, it's happening right around us.
Yeah, and she went to school each day wearing, like, the traditional Muslim dress, but she would change once she got to school.
Right.
And her father and her brother found out, and she told all of her friends, according to the article, that she was afraid of her father and her brother.
Right.
But it's like, I don't think that these kind of things aren't isolated cases, you know?
These are the ones that get reported because it ends in a murder. But
yeah,
there's countless cases of, or there, you know, I'd assume there would be countless cases of women being abused and oppressed and all that, you know?
Yeah, like, the thing I try to, like, stress to a lot of people is, like, where does fear fit into your religion, and
right,
why is it necessary if your message is correct?
Why is it why so crucial?
Why would you have to scare or use, like, strong arm tactics with your children, you know, if the message you were trying to get across was the one true message from, quote unquote, a God or Allah or whatever? So,
who is supposed to be a loving God?
Yeah.
Right. I don't know, man, but I definitely think in the coming year we should definitely, you know, look into that stuff more. And
yeah, and,
you
there's
know, like,
a lot of books that I want to read about Islam and things. It's just I've been kind of so immersed with Christianity and things in the last year. It's just
I still want to do that stuff too. But we're actually in touch with an Islam expert, so hopefully we'll get her on the podcast in the next few months or so.
Yeah, that that's going to be good. I mean, somebody who has, like, a deeper education about it all. I mean, to me, like, just in what I've seen in the last year and just the people I've talked to, I feel like Christianity itself is slipping. Like, I'm not saying, like, it's going to be fading away, but I feel like at least in our culture, I can feel it starting to, like, lose its grip on people in a sense of the more stuff we have coming out about evolution and education and this constant war between, like, creationism and evolution. At first, I thought it was, like, counterproductive to evolution and teachings in school, but I think that anytime, you know, we have one side against the other, we're able to compare the evidence. So when you compare creationism against evolution can pretty much wipe away any argument that creationism has, so that whenever a creationist presents his argument, he sees, like, the error in his ways. And I've seen a lot recently of people who are very, you know, pro-intelligent design, irreducible complexity, go from that to theistic evolution, where they're like, well, evolution pretty much is proven, but it doesn't mean that God didn't start it all. You know, there's nowhere in the Bible that indicates that evolution isn't true, so I'm going to accept that. And that, I feel like that's becoming more common, but to me, that's just one step towards disbelief. You know, it's just like, you know, the beginning of the path to enlightenment, in my opinion.
Right.
Because that's like one of the biggest topics in our country right now is creationism versus evolution.
I think as long as the moderates become more moderate and more moderate and more, and then liberal, and then, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's getting pulled in that direction with, like, the whole Episcopalians and ordaining gay bishops and lesbian bishops and all, you know that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the fact that that stuff is happening is actually a really good thing. Because, I mean, it's still, they're still hypocrites when you think about it, because it does say God hates, you know, homosexuality in the Bible. It still says that. And they're managing to interpret it some way, or, you know, omit it out of their mind somehow. And, you know, doing this, having the clergy, you know, be homosexuals.
Yeah, I think in a weird way, nonviolent extremism is good for our cause, because people like you know, that Westboro Baptist Church who hold up signs that say God hates fags, and they go to, like, you know, the funerals for soldiers and say that, you know, they deserved it and God is punishing them, and they hold up these signs with Bible verses. These moderate Christians who, you know, they go to church on Sunday, but they barely know the Bible at all, or the history, the culture, the traditions of the ancient, you know, peoples and the people who wrote the Bible. They look deeper into these verses and they're like, whoa, hold on a second, I didn't even know that verse was in there. And I get into some discussions with my friends, and I always tell them my favorite Bible verse is Deuteronomy 23:1. You know, the one that I always, like, joke around about, where it says that, you know, no man whose testicles are crushed or whose male's member is cut off shall enter the assembly of the Lord. Like, when I tell people that, they kind of laugh. I'm like, that's not in the Bible. I'm like, yeah, it's Deuteronomy 23:1.
Right.
And then they look at it and they're like, why haven't I ever read this before? It's because when you go to church, you don't talk about this stuff. You just get these happy-go-lucky New Testament sayings of Jesus, and, you know, you go home with a smile on your face because you're like, hey, Jesus was so nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, he died for my sins. Yay! Wasn't that church band great? And I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I think the whole appeal of church, and that is the whole fellowship, you know, you get to make friends, hang out with people.
I think church is awesome without the religion part.
Yeah, I used to love church.
So did I.
People, especially Christians I get into debates with, seem to think I have some kind of anger towards my church, my former church. I miss it. Like, I miss the fact that, like, it was fun, I had friends.
Right.
Everybody was nice. Nobody ever was mean to me. The pastor didn't molest me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know that's a stereotype, and I'm sorry, but...
Well, hey, I came from a Catholic church. I went to confession. I mean, I did all that stuff. I was never molested.
Yeah.
You know? I had a good experience just like you did, and... It's just we don't want to be part of a lie. You don't want to, you know...
Yeah, I feel like the more that I educate myself and learn and study, the more it becomes like where it's almost like I'm lying to myself, you know? In a weird way, it'd almost be like if I went to the mall right now and sat on Santa's lap and told him what I want for Christmas. I know he's not real, but it makes me feel better. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's what going to church now would be like. Yeah, it might be cool to sing some songs, clap my hands, but I don't want to feel like I'm fake, you know? And I probably would be the kind of person who would run up to the front if the pastor ever said some stupid statement, and I would have to correct him, because I just, that's the part I couldn't, like, stand, you know? Like, where now they have these speakers come in and try to preach creationism from... You know, these random guys who know nothing about science, and these, you know, parishioners or whatever, just eating this stuff up. Like, yeah, we had a speaker come to our church who told us that creationism is true because blah, 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 and evolution is fake because of blah, 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 blah. But then I'm like, was he a scientist? No, he was a bus driver. He wrote a book called Why Darwin's a Liar. You know, he has no degree. He got his GED back in 74.
You know, he wrote it on his lunch break, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what it is. Like, it's all these unscientific propaganda makers coming up with this stuff, and people, like, I think they're just so accustomed to trusting whatever they're told. It's like, yeah, it sounds reasonable. You know? Ken Hovind makes sense. And then you're like, Kent Hovind's in jail for lying and fraud. Oh, yeah, that's a trick of the devil.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. So anyway.
Speaking of people, speakers in church and all that stuff, have you heard about this documentary on HBO? It's going to be on December 17th. At 8, it's called Hard as Nails.
No, I haven't heard about it.
It's about this guy, Justin, I think it's Fatica, maybe?
Yeah.
He looks like he's a Marine, okay? And he's like, I saw the trailer for it the other night, and I was like, oh my gosh. Like, total Christian lunacy. It's crazy. He's acting like he's all, like, hopped up on, like, steroids or something. And he's, like, the one scene I remember is he's holding this kid's hands. He's saying, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, as some guy is hitting him in the back with a chair as hard as he can.
Is it, like, combination wrestling slash
Yeah. Well, it says what he does is he uses a mix of professional wrestling, hip-hop, and scripture to bring... but this is serious. To bring Jesus to his audience. And he's, says that he's an unordained Catholic minister. And he's the founder of Hard as Nails Youth Ministry. And, it says that he appeals to troubled teenagers and all this stuff. But I guess he's getting, some pushback from people within the Catholic Church. This is actually from the Catholic Church. But the methods seem a little more, like, evangelical, you know?
Yeah.
Like, trying to appeal to the popular culture and stuff. But definitely got to check that out for entertaining watch.
Yeah, man. It sounds very typical of the way that a lot of churches, whether it's Catholic or mostly, I think, Pentecostals and evangelicals do this the most, where they try to come off as that hip, you know, culture stealing, you know, new age, edgy Christian, where it's like, hey man, Jesus was an emo kid too. You know, like, you like to hurt yourself? Jesus had himself hung on a cross, man. you know, like, they try to appeal to these kids who, you know, like, I don't know, like, it's more like culture stealing thing.
I know, because I did the same thing, like, when I was a Christian, you know, there's, like, a Christian version of everything popular.
Yeah.
You know, you have, like, the Christian music, the metal, any kind of music there's, like, a Christian version of it.
Yeah.
And that goes for movies, I mean, like, any kind of entertainment, it's, like, you know, they even have, like, food, you know, that's, like, Christianized somehow, and it's just crazy.
Yeah, but to me, it's like, where does it end? Because, especially like now that this guy's doing this WWF hip hop stuff, it's like, you know, like obviously they're behind the times because I think WWF was so.
Well, it's not like WWF. It's not like he gets painted up and he's in a ring and stuff.
Oh, I know.
You
still know that they're like copying stuff from the culture in a sense.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I think. Even beyond just that, like, the whole hip-hop thing, I think, like, where is it going to end in a sense? Because now, even with females, it's like we have the role models and the culture changing more towards this Girls Gone Wild, Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan thing. So are they going to start having drunk teenage girls come up on stage and recite Bible verses? You know, like, drunk as shit ministries. You know what I mean?
A little Christian white t-shirt contest.
Yeah. You know, like, are you a teenage girl who just can't keep her legs closed? Well, neither can we. And we do it with the Bible. I don't know, man. It's stupid. Like,
wow.
I was just thinking... at the end of the year, I only met one intelligent Christian that I had any kind of rational discussion with.
Yeah.
Like, out of all the emails, out of all the everything, comments on YouTube, just phone calls from friends, family, one kid in the mall I met was pretty, I mean, he knew the Bible and the culture as much as I did, and he was more leaning towards a wannabe Jew.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he was more like...
Was it like a messianic Jew sort of thing?
Kind of. But he wasn't ever born a Jew, and he was kind of like just getting into the history, and he was like, you know, I've been a Christian all my life, and, you know, the New Testament, you know, and Jesus and stuff. But he's like, but the more I'm starting to realize, I don't really think that the... you know, Jesus and the whole ministry has any substance. He can see how the culture, you know, at the time started to change, but he says that that doesn't take away any validity from the Jews, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where he still thinks that they're God's chosen people and stuff, but, I mean, what he was saying at least sounded like he understood what he was talking about.
When they get to that point, it seems like they're just like... trying to grasp on to the little shred of whatever reasoning they have for their faith.
Yeah.
Because I went through the same thing. Because when I realized that the Christianity that existed now didn't really make sense, because when you get down to it, Jesus was a Jew. He wasn't a Christian, or, you know, he was a practicing Jew. He did Jewish things, celebrated Jewish holidays, did everything that Jews did back then. So I did the same thing. I moved on, like, looked into, like, you know, the Messianic Jews, like, Jewish people who believe Jesus is the Messiah. Because that, I mean, that's really, if you think about it, that's what Christians should be.
Yeah.
You know, there shouldn't be any Christianity. It should be these, just a different sect of Jews, really. And then after that, you know, you just keep searching and you learn the history of how the Bible was created and the whole history of the circumstances at the time. And
yeah,
the book that I read that started that whole thing with me was Beyond Belief by Elaine Pagels.
Yeah.
Because that it actually was about. Primarily about the Lost Gospel of Thomas, or which is one of the Gnostic Gospels, which is more just like secret sayings of Jesus. that weren't included in the canon.
Yeah.
And that actually is the first time I read about the history of how, you know, the Council of Nicaea and how they decided what books were going in, what wasn't. And that's what really opened my eyes when I realized how the book that I called the Bible came to be and how it all seemed a little bit too flimsy for my liking. And you said you're reading that book that she wrote. Yeah. Also, right?
Yeah, man, I love Elaine Pagels. If she was like 20 years younger, I would marry her. But I'm reading the book called The Origin of Satan, and it talks about how the Jews demonized, other groups, other cultures, like the Essenes, even though the Essenes were Jews, and it just talks about how there's like a tradition of demonizing other groups in like almost in a symbolic way, you know, referring to them as Satan or adversary, because the term Satan simply means adversary. Pretty much goes to the progression of how this transformed from Old Testament to New Testament, and how the idea of Satan as a figure, as an actual person, transformed into like Lucifer as we see him today, you know, where it's almost like, you know, you see him as this evil beast of a, you know, fallen angel, you know, like how it's become more of a cultural transition. Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost like a boogeyman type character, so to speak.
Right.
Whereas it never began that way, and most people don't even realize it or understand the history of it, but, you know.
That stuff is really interesting.
Yeah, man. They were talking about Irenaeus and why he chose the four Gospels.
Because he said that there are only the four corners of the earth, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, four corners of he said because the earth has four corners and it's held up by four pillars, which back then
they thought it was flat.
It's a huge common misconception. And I think that, you know, obviously we have the, you know, your apologetics and people who, you know, look at that and they don't put two and two together. They take one, instead of adding it to the other one, they make an excuse and it gives them their own answer. They like formulate it in their brain and they don't comprehend the mentality of people living thousands of years ago. Like back to our podcast about epilepsy, it's like back then it was a common belief that epilepsy was caused by some form of malicious supernatural force. Thousands of years into the future, to even attempt to make that claim, people would laugh at you. And it's common because we know better now, you know?
Right.
So when people back then were like, you know, the earth has four corners and it's held up by four pillars, that was also a common belief in Greek culture and in every culture because they didn't understand the way the world really was.
You know, No, go ahead.
I was going to say, so instead of understanding our past, we just make excuses for them.
Right. But I actually wonder, like, what a Christian would say if you're like, do you realize how the four Gospels came to be four Gospels? Like, if you say, like, the early church father Irenaeus said, oh, yeah, of course it makes sense. The earth has four corners, and there's the four pillars that hold it up. So, of course, there has to be four Gospels. Like,
yeah.
Okay, now speaking to the modern Christian who knows that these four corners don't exist, and, you know, what the hell are they talking about? Like, what corners are they talking about? If that's what he based the number of Gospels that he would have as the canonized version, you know, of the Bible, then, you know, that opens up the question of maybe he should have had 12 Gospels for the number of apostles, or, you know what I mean? It's like, or just three Gospels for the Trinity. Or, yeah. I mean, you could say anything. It just goes to show you the different ways in which the Bible is just based on, like, irrationality overall.
Yeah, people also don't realize how important symbolism and numbers were to the ancient Jews. Like, 12 disciples, 12 tribes of Israel.
Right.
I mean, you can go on forever about numbers and symbolism within their culture and stuff. But, you know, I think it's sad because a lot of, especially moderate, everyday American Christians don't even really know who Irenaeus is or what the Council of Nicaea is. Those, I didn't know what that stuff was until much older.
Same here.
I mean, nobody talked about that. You know, nobody told me, you know, this is where this came from. They were just saying this was the word of God.
Yep.
And, you know what I mean?
Well, like in the Catholic Church, we always said the Nicene Creed, you know. But we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, blah, blah, blah. But I never knew what that meant, or, you know, like, you hear stuff in church, you assume it comes right out of the Bible, you know?
Yeah.
You don't realize that that prayer that you're saying is the result of a vote on what to believe as far as Christianity goes. And what was it, in, like, 325 or something?
Yeah, maybe? I believe so.
Yeah.
Like, 300... you know, years after Jesus supposedly died, all of a sudden this stuff is, you know,
they're finally coming about. Ironing out
just, it's also like where it was developing. It was developing after a long struggle between the Romans, the Jews, and, you know, I think, I don't want to go obviously into a huge history report or anything, but from what I've been studying, it's like almost like they finally got sick of fighting with each other, and it became like, you know, obviously the Jews back then always fought with not only with other cultures and stuff, but with that within themselves. And I think it got to the point where it was like, all right, enough is enough. Like, you know, we're gonna adapt this way of thinking, you know. And I don't think it, you know, really came down to, you know, Constantine having a vision, because according to reports on his deathbed, he was always remained a pagan, you know?
Right. Sun god.
But I think it just became, you know, like, okay, we figured out a way to, you know, like in Elaine Pagel's book, she says, Christianity came about not out of so much a message for the people, but as a way to develop an early church. Like, these traditions, these beliefs didn't come as a part of a message. It was more or less a way for people to found and develop an early church, you know,
right,
opposite of this, the common synagogue. And they also know how profitable something such as that could be, because, you know, you have taxes, you have, you know, tithes and offerings, and, yeah. I mean, as we see today, look at how much money these guys make, you know?
Right, exactly.
Even right now, they're demanding that, like, people like Benny Hinn and them turn over their tax reports and their year, their year statements or whatever, and Benny Hinn is, like, refusing because he knows he's a money-grubbing piece of crap.
Right.
Yeah. That brings me, I mean, I don't want to like go off on another tangent, but I was talking to this Christian the other day. Was like, Benny Hinn really heals people. I'm like, okay, so, like, because I've seen Benny Hinn, you know, you got those people who hobble up on stage and they're like, I have back pain, and then he lays his hands on them and they fall down, and then they're like, oh, my back feels better, until they get home and they're like, oh, you know, went back to normal because the adrenaline rush just made me feel better for a couple of minutes.
Right.
I'm like, I want to see him regrow limbs. If I want to bring like 1,000 people born with no body parts, people who've lost them in the war, people who've lost them in, you know, saw accidents, I want to bring them and say, considering you just helped all of these people with arthritis and, you know, or migraines and stuff.
How about, like, cancer and stuff?
Yeah. Heal AIDS. These people.
AIDS, cancer. Why not bring someone back from the dead, you know?
Yeah. If you are...
If all things are possible.
Yeah, right.
What, did they say anything to that, or no?
They say that God has a purpose for everything, and that people who lose their arms and body parts were either born without body parts for a reason, or they lost them for a reason.
Of course.
So,
God... Just when it comes to body parts.
So, like, what's up with arthritis? Didn't God give people arthritis for a reason?
Wow.
The rationalizations are endless.
Yep.
I just want to say to everyone, whether you're atheist, agnostic, humanist, anyone who has taken the time to listen to our podcast or check out our site, thank you for the great year. I mean, please feel free to email us, to send us questions, comments. If you ever want to discuss a topic, go ahead. Let's make 2008 an even better year for, you know, enlightenment and rationalization. And I mean, let's really keep pushing this movement that I feel is really coming on strong. And you know, let's try to do it in the most positive manner. You know, you can't fight, you know, irrational fundamentalism with irrational fundamentalism. So, like, I don't know, let's just keep fighting a good fight. And thank you very much.
Sounds good. I agree. yeah, but thanks to everyone for taking the time to listen, and thanks especially to you religious people who take the time to sit down and read through our stuff or listen to our podcast, because it shows a lot of courage when you're, I mean, you might be just listening to see how you can refute it, but you know, look at it with an open mind and see what happens. You know, we were all, well, Derek and I were all in the same spots every other Christian was in, you know, so we understand what it's like. But don't, I just want to make sure that no one thinks that we're being arrogant, or, you know, that all atheists are arrogant or anything like that, because I think, like, yesterday or something, someone said something in our forum about it. Which is unfair, I think, but, you know, people are going to think whatever. But, just be open-minded. We'll be open-minded with your input. If you want us to discuss any particular topic, just send us a message through the contact page at pathofreason.com. And, this coming year, we're going to try and have some more podcasts with more guests, maybe some more authors, try and get some people that have discussed Islam and that sort of thing. But other than that,
we're open to any suggestions. So if there's anything you want to see or hear us talk about, or if you want to talk to us about anything, let us know. I mean,
if you want to come on the podcast, even.
Yeah. If you want to be on the show, if you want to talk to us, let us know, man. Write us an email, send us a comment. Just open discussion on anything. I mean, I also want to let people know, like, I have a YouTube channel, and I was telling Adam the other day, I'm going to try to disassociate my YouTube stuff from my Path of Reason stuff, because I kind of come off really angry and cynical, which I'm not always. But sometimes certain things that are going on kind of make me mad. It's just kind of like a vent, like my blog is. It's more like a satirical vent for me just to, like, ramble on and get all my frustrations out. So it's not like I feel like Path of Reason, to me, is more educational, whereas the other stuff is more, damn it, dog. Sorry.
Derek has a dog.
But anyway, yeah, I don't know. It's just a way for me to get my frustrations out. Maybe. I don't know.
Cool.
If you want to try to, like, cut that part out, dude.
Alright. Okay, well, do you want to do the ending, or do you want me to? Or do you want to try and say it in unison?
What's the ending? Do we have like a saying?
That yeah, we do. I just say keep following the path of reason.
Oh. We'll say it.
All right. Well, I'm gonna say.
Sing it together.
Yeah, we'll say it like. Okay. We'll. I'll do one take, and then we'll try one take together. Alright, ready?
Wait, what was it again?
Alright, keep following the path of reason.
Yes.
Alright.
Ready?
Okay, ready. On three. One, two, three. Keep following the path of reason. Dude! Alright, ready?
I said it.
Okay, ready. One, two, three. Keep following the
path.
Son of a bitch, dude.
You keep slowing down.
I do. When you say it together, you're supposed to say it slowly.
Oh. I thought it was like, I was talking, like, keep following the path of reason.
No.
Well, why don't you just say it then?
Yeah,
that way. For all of us here at Path of Reason.
Alright, okay, ready?
Yes.
Alright, from all of us here at Path of Reason. .com. Alright. Take six.
Keep following the Path of Reason.
.com.
.com.
Hello?
Hey.
Hold on a second, Mom. I'm doing a podcast.
Alright,
love
no,
you, bud.
Damn it.
Alright. So, I'll just do keep following the path of reason.com.
Yeah. Okay.